So go real quick, if you don't mind, over to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Hallelujah. So when we go over to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, we always read the 16th verse about every scripture is God-breathed. What I'd like to do is back up just a little bit, and let's look at verse 13 first. Fair enough? This is the last days now. But the wicked men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving, leading astray others, and being deceived and led astray themselves. Look at me, everybody. I've been born and raised in the church. I've seen things come and I've seen things go. This is a time more than ever before that you and I need to dig into this precious book called the Bible. We need to dig in. When the Bible says study to show yourself approved. Study means you don't look at it and close it. In James, it says, some look into the mirror. Some look and walk away. That's deception. Some look and then they lean over for a better look. These are the days that we need to lean over for a better look, because the world is literally going to hell very quickly. And the only hope is Jesus Christ, who is inside of us. It's a wake-up call for the church. The reason we are where we are in many, many situations is because the church has been fast doing nothing. They've been playing their bingo, having their sales in the fall, selling apples and pumpkins and everything else. The church is declared by Jesus Christ to be a soul winner to, my God, have mercy. And Jesus said this, to make disciples of men. You see, it's not getting saved is getting into the door. Saying I do at the altar is the beginning of a marriage. But then to make a disciple is a whole new ballgame. My job is to make disciples of you so you can go out and win the lost for Jesus Christ. That's it. It's a very simple plan. Someday Jesus is coming back. Someday he's going to show up, and I plan on being here. You plan on being here. And the word of God is the only thing that will save man from the slide it's in on its way to hell. I'm telling you, when you see things that are going on across this nation of ours and you hear what takes place here, and I'm not going into any details, you listen to it all and say, well, that's not right, and that's not right, and that's not right. That's because people are being deceived. The word deceive literally means to wander off course. Say wander off course. How many of you have a vehicle that has a GPS system on it? All right, well, now you can have it on your phone. You don't even need it on your dashboard. But if they lay out a plan for you, and for some reason you and I veer off course, what does the GPS system do? It corrects you and says, okay, am I right? And I always say GPS stands for God's positioning spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. So if you wander off course and I wander off course, the Holy Spirit will gracefully nudge us back another way to get back on course. Say on course.
On course.
Course means the Word of God. So we can wander out of the Word of God because it seems like this seems like a good way, and why not? But the course is always going to be the Word of God. What's always straightened me out, what's always helped me every single day is the precious Word of God. Have you ever wandered off course, Pastor? Yes, I have. Have you? I like people today, they like to play the blame game, this person and that person. Well, Jesus said this, who's without sin? You go ahead and throw the first stone. Understand, everybody has done something. But when you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, God takes your sins and my sins. He erases them. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. Can anybody figure that one out? I've never been able to. As far as the deepest sea, he has put our sins there. They no longer belong to you and I. That means if we mess up today, he's got it covered. If we mess up tomorrow, he's got it covered. He's already taken care of our past. Amen? Jesus Christ is the answer. Say, Jesus Christ is the answer. One of his names literally means answer. This is the answer book because Jesus is the answer, and the Word of God and Jesus are synonymous. The Bible says the Word of God became flesh. Well, who became flesh? Jesus became flesh. So Jesus is the Word. Say, Jesus is the Word. Say it again. Jesus is the Word. Amen? Now, listen to a scripture verse. Oh, let's go back. Well, let me read a few more verses here. Fair enough? Verse 14. But as for you, That's referring to you and I as the believers. Say, as for you and me, you and I. Listen to what it says. Continue. So what are we going to continue in? The course we're on. That means the Word of God. We've talked about what's happened to the church. It seems to not be as powerful as it was before. And the world is... It's because the church needs to build a foundation under the believer. See, just being a believer doesn't work anymore. You've got to be a solid believer, a believer that lives the Word of God with the help of the Holy Ghost. And the enemy wants to erode that foundation. The foundation is the Word. Now, I can't come home with you. You can't come home with me. But we can all look the same. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're talking church talk. But how are we living our lives? The Lord wants me to set an alarm off inside of all of us today that the hour is short. The time is short. This is not a time to say, well, I'll read my Bible tomorrow, and then we don't get to it tomorrow, and then eventually say, whatever happened to that book? Preach. I heard a preacher say this, and boy, it stuck in my spirit. He said, books will inform you, but the Word of God will transform you. Amen. How many of you have books in your library? I've been going through books, giving them away, and having a great old time. But there's one book that'll transform your life and my life, and it continues to transform mine, is the precious Word of God. The enemy does not want you and I to get acquainted with this book. If we get acquainted with this book, then we get acquainted with Jesus. He doesn't like relationships. He hates relationships between a husband and a wife, between a son and the father, you understand, and the daughter and the mom. He hates relationships between other believers. The Bible says this, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That means this is not a single tennis match. This is a whole team. Amen. When they come out on the football field, what do they do, coach? Break through that goofy thing. I saw one guy actually stumble and fall, and the whole bunch fell on their face. That wasn't supposed to happen. But when you look at some of these guys, and you get across from some guy who's like 300 some odd pounds, and he's got this look on his face, and he won't talk, that's because he's going to maul you. I had it when I was in high school football, God, years ago. I was the quarterback, and another kid, the coach wanted to play the freshman and all that kind of stuff. I was a senior, so he put him in the game. And when he saw the size of the guys that came out on the field, he faked an injury. I'll never forget that. And on the bus, he was fine, and he was talking about how he faked the injury because he didn't want to get mauled by everybody on the other team. The enemy wants to frighten us and scare us into submission. But when the enemy attacks us in whatever way he chooses to attack us, we begin to say the Word of God says this. And when the enemy attacked Jesus in the wilderness, he used only one thing. Say the Word. Say the Word. We've talked about when Paul talked about the Roman soldier, and each piece of armor represented the armor of God. There was only the two pieces that always stayed together, the sword and the loin belt. Say the sword, which represents the rhema, and the loin belt, hello, that represents the written word, all right? Now, when the Roman soldier would take off his armor, he would take the loin belt. Think about this. The loin belt goes around you like your belt, and the sword, and he always hang it on the wall together. That little belt and that sword, every other piece of armor attached to that belt. Everything in your life and my life is attached to the belt, the logos of the Word. And when you put your hand on the logos and you begin to take it out, that begins to speak, my God, that begins to speak to every trial, everything going on in your life and my life, the enemy's going to run scared. The Bible says in James, demons tremble at the sound of that name. I guess I wonder why. Because they were in heaven. They know they're already in trouble. They lost. They got thrown out with the devil. And the enemy also knows, and every demon, they were in hell when Jesus was in hell preaching to the captives. And then when he walked out, say when he walked out, the last thing he said was, oh, by the way, I need the keys of death, hell, and the grave because they no longer belong to you. They belong to me. You understand that now? His birth is part of a great story. His death on the cross is a huge part of the story, but the resurrection is what put the icing on the cake. Nobody has risen from the dead the way Jesus did, and nobody ever will. When people say, well, I serve this God and this God, I say, who created your God? The answer is, I don't know. Well, I do know. on Mars Hill. The Bible says Paul was up on Mars Hill, and it was a place where people would go there trying to find out who God was, who's the new God. And he stepped up and said this, I know who it is you're looking for. And if they didn't like what you said, they would actually stone you on the spot. And he said, I know who you're looking for. His name is Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. My, that's the kind of courage you and I need today in this day and age we live in. Hello. Say this out loud. I'm not going to wander off course. I'm going to make the word of God a priority in my life starting today. If you've said that, I believe and agree with you that that's going to be what's going to take place in your life and my life. This has first rating and first place in my life. It has first place in my wife's life. Does it work? Take a look at two people that are married over 50 years, over 50 years of ministry. Look at our children. Look at our families. Look at you. You're a result of two people that said yes to God to start a church where there was no church, to buy some land with no money, and it paid for itself. Oh, my God, have mercy. It paid for itself. People still ask me today, how did you do that? I didn't do anything. All I did was what God said to do. That's all I did. And I can still remember the trucks driving off. Every day I'd be here. The trucks driving off the property, and they'd be handing me wads of money. The money kept coming. Say, the money kept coming. Say, the money kept coming. The money kept coming and coming. Say, and coming and keep on coming. It'll never stop. It's an endless supply. When God tells you to do something, he will supply according to all his our needs, according to his what? Riches in glory. See, you and I cannot look at our checkbook and say, I don't have enough. That doesn't work. You have more than enough. That's what the word says. You'll never run out. You'll never run out of money. You'll never run out of anything that you and I need to fulfill this life that we live in. Say, I'll never run out. I'll never run out. Don't listen to the commercials. They're not true. That's all based on an earthly economy. You and I live on an economy that comes out of heaven. You heard me say last 2 weeks ago, I guess, I have dual citizenship. I have citizenship here. I have citizenship in heaven. Are you listening to me? When I'm not here, I'm going to be there. There's no worry in my heart, no worry in my spirit, man, because God directs me as I walk from one step and one day to the next. Are all days easy? Are you kidding me? No, there are things you and I will go through. How many of you are going through something? I know what's going on in Bob and Priscilla's life. That's not an easy road. But listen to me. The course has been set by Bob. It's been set by Priscilla. And when I talk to Bob on the phone, he encourages me. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be encouraging him. He never stops talking about God. He never stops talking about this man called Jesus Christ who lives on the inside of him. And he is defying everything that's being said and told to him. Why? Because the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two. My God, I just feel like having fun. Go to the next verse. And from how your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Christ, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God. Who are we going to lean on? Is there anybody else we can lean on that won't fall over on us? God is somebody we can be sure of, we can lean on, we can live our life on, and he will see us through every single storm. Say every single storm. Personality on God in Christ Jesus. Listen now, in absolute trust. Say absolute trust. Again, that's a phrase the world uses. I hear it all the time. There are no more absolutes. There is no more truth. Lie, 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 and anything else that's said is lie by the word of God. This is an absolute truth. 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 So when people say there are no more absolutes, that comes out of a camp called the enemy because he lies and he's a father of lie. The Bible says in John 8:44, and there's no truth in him. So why would we want to listen to somebody who has no truth in them when we can have Jesus who is the truth? My God, thank God. Come on, give him a praise offering. Give him a praise offering. Hallelujah. Listen to the last part of this verse if you don't mind. In absolute trust and confidence. So if we trust in God, confidence belongs to you and I. Say confidence belongs to you and I. Say confidence belongs to you and I. Listen to it now. My God, in his power, not our power, in his wisdom, not our wisdom, and his goodness, not ours. Are you hearing me today? I won't read John. I won't read the 16th verse. We know it too well. But while you're in Timothy, 2 Timothy, let's go over to the third chapter. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Understand this, that in the last days will come, set in. Say set in. Guess what? They've set in, all right. Say set in. Perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, and hard to bear. That's actually the Greek rendering of that word. Hard to bear with, hard to deal with. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, when the word perilous shows up here, it only shows up one other place in all of the scriptures. It refers to when Jesus cast the demon out of the man who was in the tombs of Gadara. That's the only other time. Say, the only other time. That means, listen to me, say great stress, hard to bear. It also means this, demon-driven days. That's where we are. It's not going to happen. When I was growing up, they talked about these things happening. I'm here now where it is going on. I have seen the world in a short period of time change. You blink and what happened? Did I miss the whole thing? Do you ever watch something and all of a sudden somebody says something, you look over and you don't see it? Before there was ever instant replay, when there were black and white televisions, there was only three stations. My brother and I were watching the Giants in the championship game against Baltimore Colts. And my mother decides to walk in and dust the television. Forgive you, Ma. No instant replay. Yeah. Black and white. And my brother said something. Are you crazy? And my mother stood up. And the TV went off. They call that one of the best games ever in the history of football for the black and white era. But I didn't see it. I couldn't see it again. It was gone. The word of God can't be blocked out by the lies and deception of the enemy in your life, in my life. I will say this, I will not be deceived. No way. Listen to what it says in Isaiah, if you don't mind. In the fifth chapter, verse number 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. That is not something that's going to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not going to happen. It's already taking place. Say, it's already taking place. Say it again. Already taking place. What's going to stop this surge of evil is born-again, spirit-filled Christians standing up in their everyday life and living this word of God, living it out loud with their lives and with their mouth. That's the only thing that will change the course of where we are. Say, that's the only thing. Now, I remember when the Bible says Pilate looked at Jesus and he said, don't you realize, Jesus, that I can crucify you or I can let you go? And Jesus said I think it's the only thing he said there. And the cross, he said, seven. He said, Pilate, this is my translation. Thank you. Pastor Paulson. You do not have control over me. Nothing's going to happen to me that the Father hasn't already allowed to take place in my life. See, the enemy wants to get us to a place where we can look at God and look at his words and say, he let you down again. He can't let me down. It's impossible to let me down. He's the answer. There is no other answers. Everything else is just grabbing in midst of the air, trying to grab something somebody said. But this word will transform you. It's transformed me. It'll always work, 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 work. Because I keep the logos, I keep the sword of the Spirit, and watch out. Say, watch out, devil. Say, watch out, devil. Do you believe in the devil? I know, because the Bible tells me he's real. Remember 1 John 3:8? For this reason, the Son of God was manifested so he could destroy. That wasn't the works of him. That wasn't just, he was a little baby, the devil ran. He was after him the whole time. Just the fact that Jesus was on the planet caused, in fact, the Greek word in there, when it says to destroy the works of the enemy, the word destroy comes from a Greek word that said lull, It means this, to fall apart. Say to fall apart. Say God's word. The focal point. Something's been in my spirit for several weeks. I'm going to say it again. When Jesus asked Peter to walk on the water and come to him, I remember Rod Parsley years ago saying he didn't walk on the water, he walked on the word. But then something's been stirring in my spirit about faith in this precious book called the Word of God. It seems that whenever God wants our faith to grow, he asks us to step out on something that's not stable. I like to believe God for healing, but I don't know that he can really heal me. I like to believe God for this and this and this, but I'm not sure. When you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll find there's men and women in there, listen to me, who stepped out on things like Abraham. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Huh? You know how old I am, God? Because he was having to step out on something that wasn't stable, because it wasn't normal for a man of his age or a wife past her age to have a child. But what happened when they came in agreement with what God said? Say a baby was born. To your neighbor, say baby. He asked him to step out by faith. And when he finally got to that place, he said, you will be the father of many nations, and your children will be like the stars in the heaven and the sand on the earth. Have you ever been on a beach? What do you usually take home with you for the next 12 months? Sand. Can you ever get rid of the sand? You vacuum it off, then you rub your hand across the rug, and it's like you gave birth to more sand. How many of you know you can't get rid of the sand? Have you ever had a carpet at your house and you ripped it up, whether to put a new one in or wood floors? And when you pick up the carpet, what's underneath it? Sand. It went through the carpet. Interesting. You will have children, so many that you cannot count them. Every answer you and I need in our lifetime, say it's right here. Say it's the word. Can I give you some things about the word? Pastor, going to preach about the word again? Before I close, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Are you ready? God's word imparts God's wisdom. Say God's word imparts God's wisdom. The Bible says in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? From above. Have you ever asked for earthly wisdom? I have, and I've gotten answers. But there are some times when that answer you're looking for can't come through the normal channels. You've got to go like this. God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you now. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? And whatever's, I've been there many times. Listen to what it says in Psalms 119, verse 98 and 99. Are you ready? My God. So through the commandments, the word has made me wiser than mine enemies. For there are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Say, my meditation. So that means, what are we doing? What does it mean to meditate? In the Old Testament, what does meditate mean? It's like a cow chews its cud. When it says that, what does it mean? What does a cow do when it chews? He keeps chewing, and then what does he do? Brings it back up and keeps chewing it. Does it again until it's so fine. What's the first step in your digestive system? It's the teeth in your mouth. That's the first step. Did you ever see somebody inhale food? They never chew it, just goes right down. Then, oh, I wonder why. Because you have to chew food in order for it to be digested properly. The word of God, when it says to meditate, it means chew on it and then bring it back up and say, let me see what that says now. Oh. And then start chewing some more. And then start chewing some more. In 2 Timothy 3:15, we just read it a few minutes ago. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Say this with me. God's word brings God's peace. Have you ever looked for peace? God's word brings peace. Say, God's word brings peace. Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love the law or the word, and nothing shall offend them. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in God. I have firm foundation that the word of God is what it says it is. I believe it, I live it, and it's always worked. Say, it's always worked. Here's another one for us. God's word brings God's joy. Say, God's word brings God's joy. Tell your neighbor, it brings God's joy. It brings joy. Say joy. Now, the word joy, if you don't mind me saying, in the New Testament, the word joy means expectancy. We have a couple in our church, their baby is due any minute. There's an expectancy. And when the baby comes, that brings what? Great joy. Say great joy. So listen to me. The word of God brings expectancy. How? Through hope. I have hope in the word of God that what it says will come to pass. Say what it says will come to pass. Say what it says will come to pass. So if I'm looking for joy, I'm looking for hope, it will come out of the word of God because joy brings expectancy. Say joy brings expectancy. Say it again, joy brings expectancy. Amen. Here's another one for us. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, yet love, in whom now we see him not, yet we believe and we rejoice, listen, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember that song, Connie, we used to sing it? Speakable and full of glory, full of glory. Here's another one. Are you ready? Jeremiah, your words were found and I did eat them. Same words were found and he ate them. He heated them. That wasn't good. Yeah, it's not good to have pancakes in a tater tot when you're preaching. Anyway, when they brought food to Jesus, said, come on, get some food for you. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father. There are times when I feel the word of God so fills me up in the realm of the spirit that even my natural man doesn't desire food. I'm hungry for this book. I'm hungry for this book. When I walk around, I see myself, this is just me talking, I might see myself as the word of God opened up for people to read. Because the Bible says, Paul says, men are living epistles read of every man everywhere. That means when you go into a place and you do business and they give you the wrong change to your advantage, you don't go back into your car and say, thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. You go back in there and tell them that you gave me too much. That really went over. Because it doesn't belong to us. That's an open book. Say, that's an open book. Say, that's in my life. Say, my life is an open book so other people can read. God's word brings divine health and deliverance. Say, divine health. Psalm 107, verse 20. See, now I believe this. He sent his word and healed them. Amen. And delivered them from their destructions. Well, pastor, what happens if you're praying and praying and praying and don't see it? I can make a decision to say the word of God isn't for this. I can say that it doesn't work. Or I can just keep on believing what the word of God is saying. I have issues in my life and I've been speaking over them year after year after year. Has there been a change? Well, there was a change in heaven. I found out through the word. I haven't seen yet the manifestation, but the manifestation was already given when Jesus said it in his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever say, listen to me. Don't ever say it doesn't work because I've been there and done it. Something happens in your spiritual belly and you know, Pepto-Bismol is going to help anybody. If God's word says it, I believe it. That changes everything right there. Are you ready? Now, here we go. Now, I got a couple more. Listen to Proverbs 4:20, and then we'll go. My son, attend to my word. Oh, boy. What does that mean to attend to somebody's words? Pay attention. Give time. This is it. This is it. Have you ever bought something, and here comes the instructions, and you have the stuff laying all over the floor? I don't need the instructions. I can do it. Have you ever done that? I have done it. And then when I got done, I had parts left over. I mean, you know what parts are. Parts left over. Why? Because I didn't read the directions. So I learned the hard way that to take it apart, especially if you buy those things that are compressed wood, and you know those screws are good for one time. Did you ever try to take it out and then put it back in? Why didn't I read the instructions? Now that I'm past 70, what I do is this. Son, read the directions for me. How'd you do that? And then he wanted to explain it to me. I don't want to know. Incline your ear into my sayings. That means you've got to listen to what the word of God is saying. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Listen, for they are life unto those that find them. Oh, find them. And health to all their flesh. When the Bible talks in Mark 4 about the word being the seed is our future. The seed is our provision. The seed of God's word is everything you and I are going to ever need. The Bible, if you read past Mark 4, the part I've always preached on, it says you put the seed in the ground, and then you don't know how, but what happens? It starts growing. Because our responsibility is to take the word of God, put it in our hearts, hello, and then the rest belongs unto God. But we've got to put it in good soil if we want to have a crop, if we want to have a crop that will be so bountiful that there's no way it can ever stop coming. I preached years ago in a farming town, and I'll never forget, I was preaching on the sower, and one of the people in the back was a lady who had a big farm. Pastor, can I say something? Sure, go ahead. And she began to describe what one seed did when she put it in the ground. Now, this was somebody who was running a farm. She said, I put one seed in the ground, and when I had a harvest come back, I had more. She said, you do that 2 or 3 years in a row, you cannot count the bountiful crop that you will get from that field. But she says it all starts with just one. Then she went and sat down. And I says, I close. That was the end of the message right there. If it works in the natural, it will definitely work in the spirit, because Jesus is talking about that. He said, you'll get a harvest that's a perpetual harvest that will never, ever, 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 ever stop. Well, how can I get it to begin? Take this book, say what it says, and then begin to say it out of your mouth by faith and watch what God will begin to do. Go over to Genesis for a minute. Oh, we're almost done. Fair enough. I want to show the ingredients as I shared this on Wednesday just for a moment. First chapter. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. Who did it? The earth was without form and empty waste. So that we can establish that. And darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. So who was there? God was there. Am I correct? Now listen to what takes place. The Spirit of God was moving and hovering. What was it doing? Moving and hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was waiting for just one word from God. Today, the Holy Spirit is waiting for one word out of the Word of God to come out of our mouth. This is the dispensation or the age of the Holy Spirit. You got to get to know him real well. I can't say, well, can I spend time with you, you with me, and we'll get to know him better? It's a personal one-on-one thing. Listen to what it says. Look at the third verse. And God said, God is waiting on us to say what he's already said. Confession means saying the same identical thing as God said. It doesn't say, say what I say if you believe it, or say it whether you don't believe it or you have unbelief. It just says, say it. Blow by all that stuff. Say it over and over again because it's waiting. The Holy Spirit is waiting to cause that seed that comes out of your mouth and my mouth to produce our future and to produce our harvest spiritually. Well, Pastor, what else is there? That's it. That's it. Listen to what happens here now. My God. Then we're going to go. Let there be light. It literally means in the Hebrew, light be. What happened? Light showed up. Has the light disappeared? It's still here in the natural. But I can tell you of an eternal light when you and I get to heaven that will shine and there's no darkness in heaven. The light comes from the throne room of God. The presence of God will shine so bright. In fact, I heard one preacher say this, it shines brighter than the sun. Who created the sun? Do you realize where the sun is? And if you study where it is, that if it's a little bit closer, a little bit farther away, we either roast or we freeze. It's perfectly placed. Perfectly placed. You and I have been perfectly placed in this universe on planet Earth, not just to not do something, but now it's our time to tell the world there is an answer. Do you understand that it's a perfect setting for the church? Because all hope is gone with people. Amen. Have you heard the words coming out of some people's mouths? There's desperation. There is desperation. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. What's going to take place? If you listen to the news, my God, get a shovel and dig a hole and crawl in. But I'm listening to the good news. And he said, let there be light. And what happened? I'm going to end with this verse. Go over to Luke and we're all done. Luke's gospel. Say, same Holy Spirit. Different time. Listen to what it says. 34. Mary said to the angel, can this be since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? Listen to what he says. Listen to the description he amplified. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the Holy Spirit, pure and sinless thing, offspring, shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. That word there means to hover. The same thing he was doing in the Old Testament in Genesis, the Holy Spirit was there ready for agreement. Say, ready for agreement. And look what happens. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, old age, yeah, she's going through the same thing. Listen, verse 37, for with God nothing is ever impossible. Say, nothing is ever impossible. Say, nothing is ever impossible. Nothing is ever impossible. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. God said, light be. Listen to what Mary says. 38th verse. Then Mary said, behold, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. The angel stuck around till she agreed. The Holy Ghost is waiting for you and I to be in agreement with his word. Don't ever say it doesn't work. Don't ever say it's too hard. Don't ever say it's too difficult. We just lift our hands in like this and we say, go on, lift your hand. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. It's true. It's the only absolute truth in all the world. And that truth lives on the inside of me. Now begin to praise him. Come on, stand up. Put your books down. Put your back. Come on, start thanking him. Come on. Start thanking him. Clap. Worship him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Praise your way. Come on. Praise your way right into the answer. Praise your way right into the answer. Praise your way. Now listen. You listen to me. It's so easy to do what you're doing with all these people. But then when tomorrow comes and you're all alone or maybe one or two people in the house, you don't have all, it's like you don't have the crowd there anymore. You can relive something that happened in a big ball game at your house the next day, but it's not the same as having all those people go crazy. Listen to me. God is going to renew something in each one of you. That when you begin to praise him and thank you for the accomplishments of his word in you, you're going to feel like the whole place is just full of people rejoicing with you. God has angels in charge over you and I. I don't only ask on the Holy Spirit to help me. I say angels. The Bible says we entertain them unaware. You are in the presence of God, and the presence of God is in you. You are pregnant inside your spiritual womb with the word of God and the presence of God. Watch out, world. Don't believe any. How many of you know a lie when it shows up? How do you know it's a lie? Because you know the truth. How do you know it's a lie? Because you know the truth. But not just the truth, the absolute truth. Say absolute. Now say this out of my mouth because we're going to run into it. There are absolutes and they're all found in the word of God. I talk sometimes to my whatever I'm watching. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's not true. It's not true. No, that's not true. There is an answer. There is a way out. And it's not through men. It's through the man, Christ Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Does it always work? Yes, because it's absolute. The Bible says, is God a man that he should lie? Has he not said, will he not do? The Bible says his word never comes back empty or void. It can't happen with God. See, we're so conditioned by the world we live in. Hello, you buy something, you go back 6 months later, that place closed down. They say we guarantee this and guarantee this, but all of a sudden, well, that's not what the guarantee really meant. God's word is solid and strong. If he speaks to you through his word, you can be sure the results are on the way and they're already inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bow your heads right where you are just for a moment. There can't be any more excuses. Can't be any more excuses. This is the day things start changing in my life. Say it out loud. This is the day they start changing in my life. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the praise and worship. Thank you for the giving of the saints here for the work of Harvest Church. Thank you for blessing Brother Bill with that truck, more than one, hallelujah, so he can bring the gospel to those 30,000 children who don't have a thing. The government says, hey, you take them, Bill. We can't do anything with them. He's going to begin to tell them about Jesus Christ in that vehicle. My God, I still got a picture of the old bread truck we bought him in my office. I look at it every day. Thank you, Jesus, for the provision from this church to win the lost for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.